The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, July 27th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, home of the 2010 Normal National Conference, September 9th through 11th. Check out normal.org/conference for details. And joining me behind the rudder, steering the ship of the show, the pilot, Don Jajon.
Is my mic not working today? I just got to get real close.
Got to get close.
Arrgh.
I'll turn you up a little bit, too.
There we go.
And joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys.
Oh, Carrie, I had to go to the ophthalmologist today.
Oh, you did? Did he tell you to shave the mustache?
No, that's not what ophthalmologists do. That's fashion designers. No, I had to pick up these reading glasses. See, I had to go to the opthalmologist. See, I'm putting my reading glasses on now.
OMG.
Can you see there how
those
nerdy
look
I look?
Great on you.
Oh, I'm totally nerdy.
They look great.
Oh, I don't know.
But I got to listen to Russ complain about going to the ophthalmologist this morning with his two eyes. There's not a lot going under this patch, Radical Rick.
You know, this is the worst job in the world, man. I can't complain about nothing.
Nothing.
It's like, oh, man, I'm not feeling very good today. Yeah? I haven't peed since 2008. Like, oh, great. Now I can't say anything. Anyway, we got a great show coming up for you today. And Carrie starts it off with our hemp headlines right after the first break. What's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we get to visit a story that includes someone who you had a Twitter duel with earlier this year. Mm. A prominent group's leader is facing backlash over her endorsement of Prop 19, and a postal auction turns up things other than posts. All that and your comments on today's Hemp Headlines coming up. Stay tuned.
All right. Excellent. And today we bring you your daily Toker Tunes like we do every day at 20 after the hour. And today's Electric Tuesday. We bring you the best in electronica, experimental, house, trance, all that synthesizer type music the kids love. And Sarah from Boston will bring us the latest tune on that. That's today's with 10 Story Relapse and their song Planting Seeds. On Tuesdays, we also do the California Marijuana Report at 1:30. And Eric Brenner brings to us an interview with Craig X. Rubin, the controversial figure from Temple 420 in Los Angeles. And at the end of the show, we've got a cannabis conversation recorded live today with Len Richmond. He's a filmmaker and comedy writer who has a new film out called What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? And it's an exciting and illuminating interview. I'm sure you want to stay tuned for that. All of that and more coming up on today's Normal Show Live. And if you miss any part of the broadcast, remember that we are replaying at 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. Pacific time. Or you can just get us through iTunes. It's a downloadable podcast. Just subscribe to us through iTunes or go to our blog at stash.normal.org for the immediate download link there. We're right back with Hemp Headlines.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, invites you to our 39th Annual National Conference, Legalization, Just Say Now, Thursday, September 9th through Saturday, September 11th, 2010, at the Opulent Governor's Hotel in downtown Portland.
The war on drugs has been historic failure, and I think that we need to rethink it and formalize our own laws.
Extend your visit through Sunday, September 12th, and you can also attend the free two-day Portland Hempstock, the largest outdoor cannabis and music festival in Oregon.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just Say Now, the NORML National Conference, September 9th through 11th in Portland, Oregon. Details available on the web at normal.org/conference or by calling 202-483-5500.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carrie.
Here at NORML Show Live, we have had our run-ins with celebrity rehab Dr. Drew Pinsky. Russ reached out to him after he gave ill-mannered advice to Lindsay Lohan's parents that if he had a child in that bad of shape, they should plant drugs in her car and then call the police to have her picked up. Dr. Drew has a show called Celebrity Rehab that takes famous people that have admitted to an addiction problem to come on the reality show and kick their habits in a mere 20 days or so of taping, all while considered a cast and while getting a large paycheck to appear. He is currently taping a new season, and one of the cast members is Eric Roberts, an actor and brother to actress Julie Roberts. The 54-year-old has joined the cast of Celebrity Rehab to kick his addiction to medical marijuana. According to his wife, Eliza Roberts, in an interview released yesterday, Eric had quit drugs and alcohol in 1995 after suffering from years of abusing those substances. He turned to marijuana and has since gotten a doctor's recommendation to use medical marijuana. Eliza went on to say that 15 years later, Eric does not use any other drugs or alcohol and has no interest in anything other than marijuana. His wife reports that he does use marijuana as a medication, but points out that a dependency is a dependency, and he just doesn't want to be dependent on his medical marijuana anymore. Given Dr. Drew's misinformation about marijuana as medicine in the past, we can expect more expert-sounding reefer madness as he attempts to help Eric Roberts and the other D-list celebrities kick their addiction habits. The show will air on VH1 sometime later this year.
Ooh, snap, Carrie. D-list celebrities. Very well put. Okay, let's see here. Eric Roberts joining Celebrity Rehab. According to the article that I'm reading that Carrie quoted from, he had a problem with drugs and alcohol that he recovered from. What was the year there? 95, was it?
Mm-hmm, 1995.
Okay, so since 1995, his problems with toxic addictive alcohol and toxic addictive drugs have been kept in check through the use of non-toxic, non-addictive cannabis. And that's a problem? That's causing a problem for you, Eric? Really? It seems like it saved your freaking life, if you ask me. You were one Joaquin Phoenix away here, River Phoenix away, whatever that kid's name was, or Heath Ledger or whatever. Marijuana saved your life, man. And come on, to say that this is an addiction, okay, if you've got a serious problem, if you really want to quit pot, there's all sorts of places you can go to that don't have cameras and pay you a paycheck and put you in the limelight, aside from Dr. Drew's little celebrity factory there. Let me get you the quote that Eric said on this. Being a celebrity in rehab, being a celebrity in rehab is ultimately celebrity rehab, even in a private setting. So Eric is interested in using this opportunity to make a statement on his belief that marijuana is indeed an addictive drug. Oh, I see. So you're saying because you're the great Eric Roberts, no matter where you go to rehab, it's going to be a public thing, right? So rather than enjoy the privacy of some place like a Hazelden or any of these places that you could go to where the cameras would be outside of the building and the paparazzi would be outside speculating on what's going on, you decided it'd be a better idea to just go in with China, Janice Dickinson, Jeremy London, oh, and Rachel Woods, Rachel Yucatel, the Tiger Woods mistress. You're going to join them on Celebrity Rehab to make a statement about your belief, Dr. Roberts, that marijuana is an addictive substance? Oh, my God.
You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see the reaction of people who actually do real drugs when they say, Eric, you're really addicted to marijuana.
Yeah, really addicted to marijuana. Look, if you don't want to do the marijuana, stop doing the marijuana, okay? It's that's all I got to say.
One of the prominent groups that has endorsed California's Prop 19, the ballot measure that would legalize cannabis for adults if passed, is the California NAACP. Now, they're facing a backlash in the group over the endorsement. Some black church leaders are calling for the head of the California NAACP, Alice Huffman, to step down over the group's support of the legalization effort. Reverend Anthony Evans, president of National Black Church Initiative, and Bishop Ron Allen, president of the International Faith-Based Coalition, have come out against Ms. Huffman after reading her reasons for the NAACP to support Prop 19 in an editorial piece she wrote for the Huffington Post. In a joint statement released, the religious leader said, "When the NAACP just says legalize marijuana, we believe that it sends out the wrong message, given that over the last 30 years, we have lost over 200,000 people to drug-related crimes in the African-American community. How can the church be in the business of promoting illegal drugs? It just doesn't fit into the proper role of the faith community or an organization that came out of the black church." The reverends are calling on all of their members' churches to publicly denounce the NAACP for supporting the legislation and asking them to withdraw all monetary contributions and support for the organization. Evans went on to say that his 34,000 black church-backed group no longer believes that the nation's oldest civil rights organization represents the best interest of the black family, saying, "How can they say they are for black people when they are legalizing drugs that has killed tens of thousands of African Americans?" Adding ironically, "It just makes no sense." Benjamin Jealous, president and chief executive officer of the NAACP, says the emphasis is getting a handle on out of control and racially disparate enforcement strategies. Considering the overcriminalization of the nation's non-white youth, Huff wrote in her article, "The California NAACP does not believe maintaining the illusion that we're winning the war on drugs is worth sacrificing another generation of our young men and women. Enough is enough." Evans went as far to imply that Huffman was receiving money from pro-marijuana groups to get her endorsement. Digging up a report from the Los Angeles Times from a 2006 article accusing Huffman of receiving $100,000 from Phyllis Morris at the same time the California NAACP opposed a California measure to raise taxes on cigarette companies. Huffman denies receiving any money from any groups for her endorsement.
Well, I've got to go to the chat on this because when someone nails it on the head, I've got to give them their props. And this one goes out to Zodiac 900. Church leaders asking for someone's head? How very churchy. Yeah, that's well put there. And really, this comes down to something that I've been saying for a long time about marijuana prohibition. It has very little to do with marijuana. Marijuana prohibition has a whole lot to do with morality. It's still the old battle from the 60s. The culture wars of the 60s are still being raged. And marijuana is being fought as a symbol, not as the drug or the herb that it actually is. And it is kind of ironic to me when I see people like Bishop Ron Allen, an African-American, demeaning the legalization of marijuana, when what made marijuana illegal in the first place was demonizing black and brown people that were using it. It's kind of come full circle, hasn't it, where the racism is now playing the other way here, trying to claim that legalizing marijuana would be bad and cause problems in the black community. They subtly said it themselves. They don't even realize it when they talk about drug crimes that were occurring in their neighborhoods. Well, yeah, all sorts of drug crimes happen in your neighborhoods because drugs are illegal. And that's what we need to do for these people of faith, is to help them to understand that we're not talking about promoting drugs or promoting marijuana. We have legal tobacco, but it sure as hell isn't promoted. I mean, ask any smoker these days while they're standing outside in the driving rain and freezing cold underneath a shelter somewhere. They'll tell you for sure that tobacco is legal, but it certainly isn't promoted or supported. And it's that legality and that attitude that have caused tobacco smoking rates to decline and saved a whole lot of lives. including a whole lot of African-American lives, Bishop Allen. So you got to get past, and I know this is hard sometimes for religious people, but you got to get past the black and white good and evil thinking on this one. Marijuana is not good. Marijuana is not evil. It just is. It's a plant, which, by the way, Bishop Allen, your God put on the planet and told us in Genesis 1:29 was an herb-bearing seed for us shall be used as meat. So don't blame us for taking it. I mean, your God brought it here for us. So, and the other thing is we need to get them past the conflation of marijuana with other drugs of abuse, right? With cocaine and meth and all these other things that truly have devastated neighborhoods, right? We need to help them to separate them and to understand that by legalizing the marijuana, you eliminate the crimes, but you don't increase the drug abuse. And in fact, you bring down the drug abuse. We find places that have tolerance for cannabis, like the Netherlands, have far lower rates of heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, any other type of abuse of any other type of drug. It is a natural human desire to want to alter one's consciousness. Some people do this through meditation and prayer and commune with what they consider to be God. Other people do this through entheogenic plants like cannabis or psilocybin mushrooms or ayahuasca tea. Other people like to jump out of planes or go bungee jumping or run with the bulls in Pamplona. It's a natural human desire to want to alter one's consciousness. So if that is true, we need to make legal the safest possible ways to do that. And finally, Bishop Allen and to other religious leaders, there's not a single argument you can make for keeping cannabis illegal that isn't a better argument for making tobacco and alcohol illegal.
An 80-year-old Georgia man found out a painting he had purchased years ago was worth more than he thought. Gordon Clement bought a painting at a post office auction more than 5 years ago and was trying to sell the item for $25 at another auction last week when he discovered the heavy frame wasn't solid as he thought, but actually filled with 4 pounds of marijuana. Fearing prosecution, the man panicked and decided to take the picture, frame and all, home to call his lawyer. In a quote to local media, Gordon Clement says, "I was devastated. It was nerve-wracking. But on the way home, he said he was a nervous wreck, knowing that he was carrying all that dope. He kept telling the driver, 'Cool it, slow down.' But the driver kept saying, 'I'm only going 45. The elderly man called his lawyer as soon as he got in the door, and his lawyer advised him to call the police, which he did. Police investigators told Clement the pot was worth around $5,000 and it took it from him. Clement says he is relieved to get rid of the drugs, adding he never experienced anything like this in his 80 years. For his original purchase price of $25, that works out to be about $6.25 a pound he paid for each pound of the cannabis found. I clearly need to go to more postal auctions."
I know this stuff happens to us stoners. I know that we find pot. I know that it drops out of the sky onto our homes. We just don't hear about it, do we, Russ?
We never hear about it. But I do want to do a public service for this elderly gentleman and any other elderly folks out there who might be going through their belongings and maybe having a yard sale or turning things over to the Goodwill or whatever. And it can be very scary because it is a felony that we're talking about here. So if any of you are having any problems and happen to find 4 or more pounds of marijuana on your person, please send it to us at Normal Show Live, care of Oops, I Found Some Dope, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. We'll be sure that it is disposed of properly and with the proper authority.
Ganja John. They don't call me Ganja John for nothing. I take care of the ganja.
That's kind of a funny story, Carrie, finding the weed like that out in the middle of a picture like that. 4 pounds even, huh?
Yeah, and he was really concerned because he had it in his possession for about 5 years. So he really felt like he was a felon.
Well, I mean, it is a funny story, but, you know, it could have gone bad. I mean, there's also, you know, had he been someone else, who knows, could have been an anonymous tip. Maybe the guy who originally planted it there remembers it sometime and wants to break back in the house and get it back. I mean, some bad things could have happened from this, so we don't want to make too much light of it, but it is kind of a funny
story. Well, it was a postal auction, which is what happens when packages don't get picked up. They hold them for a set amount of time, and then they auction them off to the public to offset the cost of storing them.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, look, folks, don't send weed through the mail. It's a great way to earn yourself a trip to a jail cell. That said, I've known people who've done it. It's not a risk I would take.
Ding, ding, ding.
I didn't say anything. I don't know nothing. I will deny it on the stand. All right, everybody. Thanks, Carrie, for the headline there. We're coming right back here at 20 after with Sarah Kant for our Electric Tuesday tune. And, oh, It is 20 after, isn't it?
It sure is.
I do believe we need to take a break.
I think we should.
And this break is brought to you by Southern Oregon.
It is.
We'll see you in a minute.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, the arena delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sara Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. 22 after the hour, and time to head back to the East Coast, the beautiful city of Boston, and the lovely and talented Sara. Sara, welcome back.
Aw, thank you, Russ.
How are you doing this fine day? I know you're getting close to your impending due date, I imagine.
I am a bit close now. It's interesting being this pregnant in such a hot summer, hottest in history, and of course, I am in my third trimester, so I'm trying to keep cool mostly.
You had to pick the hottest summer to be pregnant. Oh, lucky you, huh?
I really did, yes.
All right, well, we always get great Electric Tuesday music, the best in the house and electronica and experimental music. It's always interesting, so tell us about our song today.
All right. This band would never have existed had founding members and college friends John Douglas and Mark Malam not bumped into each other and had a 15-minute conversation at a bar and restaurant in their hometown of Atlanta, Georgia, as well as other founding members Scott Patton, himself currently on the road with country pop giant Sugarland. 10-Story Relapse consists of Kevin Caldwell and Thomas Young. Since their first release in 2002, 10-Story Relapse has nixed the idea of sticking to a single genre, a choice which has provided them with rising national and international exposure, including regular radio airplay in both the U.S. and U.K. They've performed with mainstream touring acts such as Soul Asylum and the Lemonheads, and one of their songs has been used by world-renowned peace activist Ava Lowry for her cause, PeaceTakesCourage.com. The group's most recent release, Buddha and the 38 Caliber, was in 2009. The ambient Planting Seeds is from the 2003 album Frequency, and is somewhat reminiscent of One Republic, a dynamic combination of acoustic and electronic elements. This down-tempo track with a clear pop sense and a big cinematic sound brings a flowing, mellow soundscape incorporating powerful vocals, harmonic texture, and careful sequencing. A soft, meditative groove sets the mood for quiet use of background synths, effects, and processing without drowning out organic talent. Meet 10-Story Relapse on their official website at 10storyrelapse.com or their Facebook fan page linked on the stash. it's the right time of year to plant some seeds. So I'm planting some seeds that you know I like.
Our favorite kind of seeds, that's for sure. This is 10 Story Relapse with Planting Seeds. Thanks, Sarah, and try to stay cool. Story Relapse, Planting the Seeds. Planting Seeds, the kind of seeds we like. This will be available for download up at stash.normal.org. Look under Media and Tunes to get all the Daily Toker Tune downloads. We're coming back with California Marijuana Report next.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
California ain't holding me back. Here in California.
California.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report on the radio at KRXA AM 540 in Monterey. Now, here's another great interview with Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Chief Mayor, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
Michaels or any members of his entourage will face charges after drugs were found on his tour bus in DeKalb County this week. Tonight, News Channel 15's Alyssa Isenson is live in News Control with reaction from the rock star's camp. Well, Brett Michaels was on his way to a concert in northern Michigan when his tour buses were pulled over on I-69. Today, a spokesman told me that Michaels was cooperative with police and allowed them to search the buses.
It was pretty crazy. The small town of Ashley is buzzing after rock star Brett Michaels' tour buses were pulled over a few miles down the road.
We don't get anybody big like that around here.
Michaels' spokesperson says police claimed there were no trailer tag lights and stopped the buses near the 137-mile marker on northbound I-69 around 11:30 Wednesday night.
Good for our Indiana for paying attention to that kind of stuff and getting our roads safe for everybody.
When DeKalb County Sheriff's Department officers had the buses stopped, narcotics dogs detected drugs.
For being a rock star, it kind of doesn't surprise me. Just be like Willie Nelson, don't you know that kind of stuff's on board when they're on the bus?
A search found marijuana on both buses and Schedule 2 controlled substances on the bus Michaels was not on. Michaels' spokesman says the rocker allowed the search and everything was handled in a professional manner.
I think they should have took him to jail and had him sing a few songs to everybody and then let him go.
No one was arrested at the traffic stop.
I mean, if it would have been anybody else or anybody from this town or anything like that, I mean, they would have already been sitting in jail. Yes, there are benefits for people knowing your name.
DeKalb County police weren't available for comment today, but they are forwarding possible charges onto the prosecutor. Then it will be up to her to decide if any charges will be filed. We don't know yet if those charges could be against Brett Michaels, but as of this afternoon, the prosecutor's office did not have any information from police yet. Live in News Control, Alyssa Isenson, News Channel.
Thank you, Alyssa Isenson, at News Channel 15 in Indiana. Alyssa Isenson, live in the news control room, reporting on the breaking news story that marijuana was found on Brett Michaels' tour bus. Brett Michaels, who recently fought his way out of the intensive care unit, almost was dead thanks to a brain hemorrhage, now out touring, living, sharing his music with others, through Indiana, heading up to northern Michigan. When the DeKalb County Police Department noticed a tag violation on his bus, they searched the bus and found marijuana. And this is how Alyssa Isenson at News Channel 15 presented this story. Not once did Alyssa Isenson at News Channel 15 in Indiana ask the question. Not one person from the DeKalb County Police Department, why are you harassing Brett Michaels for marijuana on his tour bus? Alyssa Isenson at News Channel 15, you can continue, and you most likely will, continue your shoddy reporting and manifestation of this anti-marijuana propaganda that your news organization helps put forth. But we here at the California Marijuana Report, Alyssa Einerson at News Channel 15 in Indiana, we here at the California Marijuana Report promise to tell the truth about marijuana. And joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report is Pastor Craig X. Rubin. Craig is the founder of Temple 420 in Los Angeles. He also had a reoccurring role on the Showtime series Weeds. Pastor Rubin, welcome back to the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you, Mr. Eric. Good to be back.
What's going on with you? You had some very serious legal problems the last time we spoke. Did you do any of that 90-day jail sentence?
No, not yet. They dropped all the charges on me, but I still have the 90-day jail sentence, the 300 hours of Caltrans work on the highway, and three more years of probation where I'm not allowed to leave L.A. County.
Now, let's remind the listeners of the show here how you got yourself into this situation with such a ridiculous sentence for marijuana.
I sold 1 gram of marijuana to a police officer who had a doctor's note. We verified that he had a doctor's note. He came into my medical marijuana club, which I ran as a church. I provided him with religious services prior to helping him with any medical marijuana. Excuse me. And I was arrested and charged with selling marijuana. And they tried to, as they did in my previous case, prohibit the mention of medical marijuana in court.
Now, this was done, of course, by Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley. Craig, what are your thoughts on Mr. Cooley running for statewide office now against Democrat Kamala Harris for the Attorney General spot?
From my understanding, both Kamala Harris and
Kamala.
Mr. Cooley are both anti-marijuana. They're anti-medical marijuana. And really, the whole Republican-Democrat thing doesn't do anything for me. I see them both as two wings of the same dead bird that a lot of Americans aren't paying any attention to anymore.
So, Craig, does that cheap suit District Attorney Steve Cooley in Los Angeles, is he interested in putting you in jail for marijuana?
They are trying to put me back in jail, but they're giving me the option to pay to be home jailed, where I would be GPS chipped with an ankle bracelet that would monitor my location.
Craig, talk about the impact this has had on your family. Obviously, professionally, it's been a setback. The temple has been forced to close down. What kind of impact has this had on your family?
Beautiful five-bedroom house before, and all of our 7 children were living with us. And now only 2 of our kids live with us, and my wife and I live in a hotel. And they've taken our life savings for the second time within 4 years. And because they actually arrest the money, and money has no habeas corpus rights, they don't have to give you a trial on your money for 10 to 15. They could hold it really 20 years. So what they do is they try and settle with you. And so we're at the point where we're finally going to give up suing them and just settle so we can get some money and get out of the hotel because, you know, there's often days we go without eating just because we don't have money. And I don't qualify. I don't want to complain and people go, oh, ha, ha. But I don't qualify for any welfare or general relief because I'm a narcotics convicted felon after 1997. So I've just been doing odd jobs and my wife has been working. So it's been...
Craig, do you have a PayPal account number so listeners can help?
Be a blessing. Yeah, just in my email, craigxrubin@hotmail.com. But yeah, it would be nice.
Well, we are so happy.
I really hate to like ask for charity or anything because I am a hardworking guy and I'm able. So if anyone does have anything that I could help them with employment-wise, I have been going on auditions and doing comedy, and I am up for a radio job that they want me to change my name on if I get the job because I'm too famous as a pot guy. But they like my background for radio, so.
Pastor Craig X. Rubin of Temple 420 and the Showtime series Weeds, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Mr. Eric, it's always my pleasure. God bless you, and I hope your show grows to be as big and strong as a healthy pot plant.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Today we get the opportunity to speak with documentary filmmaker Len Richmond, who's here to tell us about his new film, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? Len, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I got to correct you, though. I'm actually a comedy writer.
Oh!
And I made a documentary film, but it was only because I was so passionate about getting the word out. But I actually make my living writing comedy.
Oh, really? Who do you write comedy for?
Well, I lived in England 18 years, and I wrote a number of shows for the BBC and London Weekend Television, Granada, all the big stations there. And I was kind of known at the time for having all my characters smoking marijuana wherever possible.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
Exactly. I got a lot of praise for that. I mean, you know, England's a lot looser, and it was all okay, but I could never say it was marijuana. We could have pot plants, you know, in the living room. They could be passing around joints. We just couldn't say what it was. They were very funny. It's kind of British. It's
The great British tradition of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I believe.
Exactly. That's it.
So you're a comedy writer. What leads you from being a comedy writer to wanting to do a documentary on healthcare and cannabis?
Well, I was getting older, and I figured I wanted to do something useful with my life. I mean, not useful, but there were certain things I felt really passionate about. And my mother actually got me into this. I'll go about this a little roundabout way. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, cancer runs in my family, and every single relative that was diagnosed with cancer that put themselves in the hands of the medical profession died. Mm-hmm. And so when my mom was diagnosed, she said, they ain't going to touch me. I'm going to go on the Internet. I'm going to find out what herbal things I can do, what dietary things I can do. And we all thought she was nuts. You know, her kids are going, you've got to get proper medical care, mom, this is crazy. And she's a very stubborn Jewish mom. And she said, no, I'm going to do it my way because I don't believe doctors. I think they're in it for the money. Cut to 5 years later, she treated herself with only natural things, a lot of herbs. She shrunk the tumor. Hmm. It never grew during the entire period of time. Like, you know, she kept getting ultrasound. She shrunk the tumor. So suddenly I became a believer in herbs.
Yeah.
Even though I had been a pot smoker all my life, I had never imagined it was doing me any good. You know, and I kind of thought, yeah, well, this is all wish fulfillment. Yeah, sure, it cures cancer. You know, even though I had read a few articles about it, I said, if this was really serious, wouldn't we all know about it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well. She kind of made me a believer in, you know, she wasn't doing cannabis. She was just doing other anti-cancer herbs, because cannabis is obviously not the only one. Although it is, from what we can tell, the most powerful and maybe the most effective of all the herbs to treat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I made another film where I actually interviewed, it was called Everything Bad is Good, where I interviewed people who had all been given death sentences by conventional doctors for cancer. And they all lived by turning to diet and herbs, specifically vegan diets and, you know, raw food diets and cutting out all the toxins. They're all alive and healthy and, you know, the doctors were wrong. And I wanted that on film. But the cannabis thing was something that nobody had done because nobody knew about it. You know, none of these people knew that cannabis was an herb that they could be taking for their cancer. So I started investigating it very small. I interviewed a guy called Jeffrey Hergenrather, who's a doctor up in Sebastopol in California. And he was treating people with cancer and curing them with cannabis. So he was the first interview, and he was so convincing. I thought, there's something here. I've got to really track this down. And it was a little hard. There were a lot of doctors that would not be interviewed, you know, that worked for big hospitals and things, even though they believed in what we were doing, and they believed that cannabis had a healative and curative effect for cancer. There was one guy at Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in L.A. that was all ready to do the interview. We were all set up, and the administration said, oh, God, no. We can't let you do this. We can't, you know, come out in favor of legalization of drugs, you know, the whole thing. But I got a lot of brave doctors. I got, well, really 6 to 8 doctors in the film who are all doing research, scientists around the world, who are, it seems to me, are either absolutely convinced that this will be the cure for cancer, or if more research is done, it will become the cure for cancer.
Right. And you've got a few of these. I'm looking at the IMDb entry for your movie, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? Uh-huh. I'm seeing Dr. Melamed, Dr. McAllister, Dr. Bierman, Dr. Guzman, many doctors that we've spoken to on our show who, I agree with you, are very, very convincing on this subject. As you were trying to get these doctors, you mentioned there were so many that wouldn't speak on camera, that wouldn't be interviewed. Yeah. Did you feel, you know, this was the influence of big medicine, big pharma, the business interests keeping them from speaking out?
Well, it was, but, you know, basically it was fear for their careers. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't like to rock the boat, and they don't like to come out and stick their necks out. I mean, the doctors you just mentioned are incredibly brave. In some cases, they've risked arrest and harassment by the government, but they still believe this so strongly. Interestingly, 1974, the Institutes on Drug Abuse hired some scientists to prove that marijuana could screw up your immune system. Well, they found out it didn't screw up your immune system, and in fact was effective for three forms of cancer. Mm-hmm. The results were actually published in, I think it was the National Journal of Cancer, and then immediately the study was closed down and no further research was done. They knew this back in 74.
Right.
So it's no surprise that this information is like, you know, I tell people the name of my movie, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer, and the main reaction I get is, isn't that funny? You know, they think it's a joke title.
Right, right.
Because they just can't believe that we could be this censored and suppressed all these years. Well, one thing I want to say, because I'm a comedy writer, the film is not as grim as it may sound. I've worked in the field of entertainment all my life, and I figured if this film's going to get out there to the masses, I got to make it entertaining.
Right.
So we got Peter Coyote, the guy who won an Emmy for his narration of a lot of PBS things, to narrate it, which is interesting. It makes it so much more convincing when you have a convincing voice narrating it.
And you know, just to add a little bit of trivia to this, Peter Coyote also narrated the documentary on Jack Herer, the Emperor Wears mm-hmm. No Clothes. So the Emperor
That's
of
right.
Hemp, excuse
That's
me.
Right.
So cannabis fans will be familiar with that voice. I think they'll tune right into that.
Right. And he's not a smoker himself. He's kind
right,
of, you know,
right.
like in recovery and stuff, but he believes in what we're doing. I decided, you know, I thought, I was worried that scientists might be a little boring. As it turns out, they weren't, because I have a great editor who made the film very visual and exciting and fast moving. But at the time I thought, I got to add some comedy to this. So I'm going to show what happens inside the human body when cannabis enters and meets a cancer cell. And I'm going to do it with puppets, because I knew a guy who designed brilliant puppets.
Okay.
So we designed a puppet called Connie Cancer and another puppet called Kurt Cannabis. And I actually got Roseanne Barr to agree to play Connie Cancer. Perfect.
I was going to say, Roseanne Barr playing cancer. Is that typecasting, or
yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, kind of, yeah. I'm just a diva here, and I'm here to eat all your cells. Get out of my way. She's just perfect for it. And, you know, some people may not remember Malcolm McDowell. He was the star of A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And many other films. A great British actor. And he was terrific as cannabis. And he doesn't smoke either. He's also in recovery. So it's kind of interesting that my big stars are not smokers, but almost like, you know, they're straights in the gay community that support the cause.
Right.
They're the straights in the pot community that support our cause.
And that's important.
Absolutely. Can I also mention my website?
Sure. Please do. I want everybody to find out as much as they can on this film. So go ahead. If it's playing anywhere, websites, people can get more information, give it all out.
Okay. Well, let me do that. It's Len Richmond Films. So that's L-E-N and then Richmond, R-I-C-H-M-O-N-D, films.com. Easy to remember. It's for sale on Amazon as well. You can just put the title in. Where the next screening is going to be at the Sausalito Film Festival, August 15th at 1:30. And even in Sausalito, there was a bit of controversy about whether they were going to show the film. There were certain people that were anti-drug on the committee, and there was a bit of a debate about it. And the only reason they're showing the film is they were finally convinced, well, this is really not about cannabis, this is about cancer, so it's okay if we show it. Which, even in an area like San Francisco, you're going, what is going on in this world? People are so brainwashed, they just won't let go. So they also wanted to have on a panel of doctors, which they're doing afterwards, to discuss this. So there's going to be Donald Abrams and Sean McAllister and myself and Jeffrey Hergen, rather, all coming on to, I guess, help legitimize the film.
Right.
And I just another thing about that, I've been accepted by two festivals now, one in Berkeley and one in Sausalito. Festivals in New York and other places have turned down the film. And I can only assume they're just too nervous about promoting marijuana when they get so many corporate sponsors and city money put in. They won't stick their necks out, which is kind of shocking to me in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. You know, I when I think about this, and of course I'm much more informed on this than the average person who would see the title and go, oh my God, what a shocking thing. What if cannabis cured cancer? But when I think about it, and I think about the reaction that people might have to it, you know, we've been lied to about cannabis for so long, just in general, but to find out that we've been lied to for these moralistic reasons, this 60s culture war, and that lie has prevented us from saving people's lives. It's literally killed people. I think that's part of what they're afraid of, is like, oh my God, we can't let people know that this lie has killed people.
That's right.
Have you felt that reaction
all this time?
Have you felt that reaction from people who've seen
your film?
Oh my
God, yeah. But yeah, and you know, just in the whole field of cancer, you know, a lot of the doctors don't even believe in the chemotherapy and radiation they're doing. They know the statistics. There was a survey done saying that most doctors would not get chemotherapy if they were diagnosed with cancer themselves, but they give it to the patients. You know, can people really be that greedy that they really just want to pay for their sailboats and their yachts and, you know, their kids' tuition to Yale, and they're willing to put people's lives in danger? And I've come to the horrible conclusion that the answer is yes.
Yeah.
That they really know they're not doing any good, but they're so caught up in the world. And also, it takes a lot of bravery for a doctor to break it.
Sure.
They have this thing called standard of care. And if you don't give the standard of care for cancer, which is chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, you can be disbarred and you can be sued by the family if the patient dies.
Right.
So sticking your neck out to say, try cannabis, you know, this has been effective for thousands of years. That's another thing we do in What If Cannabis Cured Cancer. We go back to actually Neanderthal man to show some evidence on how cannabis may have actually influenced things like cave art and use of tools, because they were the people in ancient times were consuming massive amounts of cannabis. It grew prolifically. It was high in protein, high in omega-3s. It was a great food.
Yeah.
And it obviously affected, some cave art. I mean, you can see it just by looking at it.
Oh, sure. Now, many people in the cannabis community be aware of a gentleman, a Canadian by the name of Rick Simpson, who has been proselytizing about the Rick Simpson hemp oil, Phoenix Tears, being able to cure
Rick
cancer.
Oil.
Is that any part of your film? Is that addressed in the film?
Well, that's interesting. I saw that film, and that was inspiring to me. I think it's great work that he's doing. But he interviewed patients in the film. He didn't interview any medical professionals. And that actually was one of the reasons that I did something quite different in my movie. The patients, you either believe them or you don't, but it's not evidence.
Right.
You know, it's just anecdotal evidence. And, you know, some of them come across well, some of them don't. And I thought, you know something, if I interview patients for my movie, nobody's going to believe it. The only thing that people believe here in this country is doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors, scientists, medical evidence. And so I made a decision. There are no patients in my movie. There are only medical professionals. Almost every one of them have an MD after their name. because that's the only thing that might kind of, you know, knock people out of their skepticism and brainwashing and go, oh, well, these doctors say that it does cure cancer. Mm-hmm. Huh. They're doctors.
Yeah. They have a coat. They must know what they're saying. Did you find from any of the doctors any blowback or them having any sort of issue with Rick Simpson, a man who's not a doctor, coming out and making these claims?
Yeah. And actually, I interviewed Rick Simpson for the movie, and we decided not to use it. And I'll tell you what. I'll be really honest. And again, I do this regrettably because Rick Simpson is a saint. I mean, who is John the Baptist? That was the first one that was,
right,
you know, out there saying, hey, folks, you know, Jesus has been born. I say that not being religious, so I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Okay. But
he was the first one who took all the heat for saying that cannabis oil, and again, we're talking about oil because we're talking about a massive amount of cannabis. Smoking joints helps. But if you have cancer, you really need to bombard your body with cannabinoids.
Right.
So his oil is highly concentrated in all the chemicals, as is most hash oil that you can buy at dispensaries. His interview, he really just wanted to talk about the unfairness and the persecution and how angry he was and all the horrible things that have been done to him. And it's all true. But I didn't want that in my movie. Because I wanted this movie to be positive. I wanted to say, this is great news, folks. You know, I know there's a lot of, you know, tragedy out there and horrible prosecutions, but that's not what this film is about. I don't want to bring you down. You know, I really want to inspire you to go out and change the laws and do cannabis and, you know. And he was just so angry in the interview that and also he's not a doctor.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine with me, but in terms of me presenting the best evidence I could, I wanted doctors that were articulate. I, you know, we actually show cancer cells being killed by cannabis on screen.
Wow.
You know, the work of Seth Laboratories in San Francisco, they actually photograph cancer cells wiggling around. Cannabis is administered and you see the cancer cells dying. I figured this is the kind of evidence I need in my movie.
Perfect.
Exactly. So, there is a certain reluctance to embrace Rick Simpson just because he's so... I can't really find another word. He's so angry.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, not the image that people really want. They want something where somebody is sensible and articulate, and he has a right to be angry. They've done terrible things to him, but that's not where I wanted to go with it.
Well, the movie is What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? And as far as I'm concerned, the more people we have talking about it, the better. The filmmaker is Len Richmond. Check out LenRichmondFilms.com. We'll have that up in the blog at stash.normal.org, as well as the chat room, so you can get the web address. Get the movie, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer, available now on Amazon.com. And you said the Sausalito Film Festival. What's the dates on that?
I had some hash oil in my mouth just then. So what I do, let me just tell them this, because this is, I don't have cancer, but since everybody in my family did, I'm doing this as a preventative thing.
Good for you.
So I get the hash oil, you just stick a toothpick in it. And you just brown the end of the toothpick. That's all you really need. You put it under your tongue. You let it dissolve there. It gets in your bloodstream really fast. And for 8 hours, I have the most wonderful day.
I'll bet.
as long as I don't have to accomplish too much. So Sausalito Film Festival, August 15th, which is a Sunday, 1:30 p.m., followed by the panel with doctors. The data for the Berkeley Film Festival I don't have quite yet, but that's coming up as well.
All right. We got just a little bit of time here before we go off. You have to see this. We're just getting it in from Ganja John's special order. It's right there.
Custom order.
There's the Ganja patch.
I can't believe she sent me pictures. I'm so excited.
But get the other one up here. Get the up close. This is leather, right?
Oh, 100% leather.
Oh, of course. We only do the finest. Chris will have the PETA people calling us. No. There it is, up close. Beautiful.
It is beautiful, really.
Well, for Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie and everyone here at Normal.org, thanks for joining us. Replay is coming up in an hour, 3, 5, 7, and 9. Check us out on stash.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love the earth.
his normal show live. The voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hang it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.